it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to the American Pipeline Podcast, presented by BetMGM, McKinney Hockey. I am Mike Stevens, and sitting across from me is Sydney Wolf from The Rink Live. Sydney, how you doing?
Doing good. A lot of fun news and notes here this week. Some more big USHL stuff, and there's been plenty of news today, as I'm sure you know, with NHL and like all leagues. I feel like it's a big day of hockey stuff today.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was nuts. Sydney was very kind to wait 15 minutes. I was 15 minutes late to recording today because just signings and trades and whatnot. A lot of fun. But we are back. The All-Star game or the All-Star week and break and everything is over. And here we are. We're ready to rock. Sydney, let's take it from the top here. Some news and notes, starting off with Sam Scholand. We had an update from last week. I was graciously covered by Jacob Stoller. So why don't you give us an update on that?
Yeah. So just wanted to give a shout out to everybody on Twitter. Last week, we talked about Dallas prospects and we saw that Sam Scholand hadn't played at all this year for Western Michigan. And I couldn't find anything on Twitter about it. So shout out to everybody on Twitter that DM'd me or messaged me why he wasn't playing, because I could not find it for the life of me. So Twitter really came in handy there. And it was actually an article that was already on The Rink Live. So I didn't even know how I missed that, because I read all of our stuff anyway. But it looks like he was actually suspended for like 40 games or something. So he never actually played this year because he played during COVID, apparently in a pro league, what's considered a pro league in Sweden. So it looks like that's why he hasn't played yet this year. I had no idea why. I didn't know if he was injured or what, but some Dallas fans sent me that article. So it sounds like he was trying to appeal it, but from the looks of it, he still hasn't played. So I assume that means he just has to sit out a year because he played in a league that was considered pro. So that kind of sucks because he's a Dallas prospect, but hopefully he's able to play, I assume, next year, but I have no idea. But yeah, thanks to everybody on Twitter for sending me that article from my colleague Brad Schlossman that he wrote, I think, at the beginning of the season, because I had no idea. So,
I mean, 40 games is
I think it said, yeah, like 41, which I just assume that means like the entire season. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that kind of stinks then if you're a Dallas fan or a Western Michigan fan. But I'm hoping then or assume that he's able to play next year. But we'll see. I don't know how all that those rules and regulations work.
There was no like sort of but there was no leeway during COVID. Like, it's COVID. What does he do? Not play at all?
I assume that's why he probably tried to fight it a little bit, because I'm sure there were limited options during COVID, because most leagues like didn't play or they played very little, like before or after sort of like that main pandemic part happened those few months. But yeah, it sounds like that probably didn't scale it back because he still hasn't played. So I don't know, but yeah. Twitter people came in handy and sent me that info. So cool.
Well, that's nuts in my opinion, but
definitely crazy.
Speaking of players who are coming back, defenseman Stephen Holtz of Michigan, he's officially back after being in the ICU dealing with an illness. I remember we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, being like, oh, you know, I hope he's okay. He was in the ICU. He's back. He played a game. This is a great story.
Yeah, so this was just a cool update. It was actually like kind of a long time ago. I think it was in like November or December, which is weird because I remember talking about it too. They didn't really specify any details or anything, which is totally okay. We don't really need details, but he was in the ICU. It sounded like it was pretty bad and scary for him, but it's really good he's able to be back and now he's playing again. So I assume, you know, he's back to hopefully full health or close to full health, but he hadn't played in a game since I want to say it said November 4th or 5th. So it's been like a long time since he's played for Michigan, but he was back in the lineup this past weekend against Wisconsin. So cool to see that he's hopefully been able to make a full recovery and he's back playing for Michigan. So that was some really good and some positive news to see.
Yeah, that's fantastic to see. He was, I mean, anytime a kid like that because keep in mind, these are kids, these are college students, you know, is in the, not just the hospital, the ICU due to an illness. That is, that's pretty nuts. All right. Moving on. Brown University goaltender, Matthew Caron. He's injured. This is big. And it was in practice. So this is not even a game-related injury. This is pretty
Nuts. So I don't know too many details of it. I just heard that he's injured from Mark Diver on Twitter. And I didn't see any details of the injury, but it sounds like it was in practice. He's been really good for Brown this year, though. But he last played January 21st, so it's been a little while. He had a .924 save percentage. He was doing really good, helping Brown out in a couple of games. And recently he's missed games against St. Lawrence, Clarkson. And then it sounds like this weekend he's going to be missing the games against RPI and Union, I believe, are their next two. And when he was gone, these last two games, they lost 6-0 and 6-2. So I think they desperately kind of need him, or not desperately, but he's been a big part of some of their wins recently because he's been really solid. So having him injured is not great for Brown. So I'm hoping that this injury is not anything too intense. I haven't really heard anything, if it's like a small injury, big injury. I don't know. I haven't heard any details besides just that he's injured. So I don't know any details of it, but Brown definitely needs him back because their last few games have not gone very well.
Yeah, I mean, that's brutal. And just to get injured in practice, I mean, is just... I mean, that should be your safe space, you know?
That just hurts even more because, yeah, it's like it wasn't even during a game. So I don't know. Hopefully it's just a short-term thing, but I have no idea. We'll update you on when he comes back.
That'd be terrific. All right. Now, Cornell managed to do something over the weekend that I don't think I've ever seen done in hockey before. I didn't even know that this was physically possible, considering how difficult it is to score goals in hockey. But Cornell scored 4 goals in less than a minute against Union to win 10-1. 4 goals in less than a minute. How?
I don't even know. I saw this stat on Twitter over the weekend. I wasn't watching this game or anything, but I looked at that and I had to like double, triple take that and then like check the box score because I can understand like 2 back-to-back every once in a while. You see like 1 and then they score right off the face-off or something like. But that's even really rare. So it's like 4, like if you're Union, what are you doing to allow 4 goals? And from what I read on the box score, there was a 5-minute power play. So I think that factored into a little bit, but I think they scored like 3 on that 5-fiver, maybe 4, but that wasn't part of the 1 minute. So they scored 3 at the tail end of this 5-minute major. And then the 4th right after it looks like it expired. And it's like, just if you're Union, like, what are you doing to allow those goals? Like, and I know Union's not like the worst team or anything. So I don't know how you let that happen. That just seems like your team just gave up if you do that. But yeah, it seems like that 5-minute major sort of factored into that. And it was from 11:40 in the first period to 12:34. They scored 4. So that's insane. And that 10-1 score includes no hat tricks, surprisingly. That's also kind of wild because a bunch of people got on the score sheet and were scoring goals. So that was very weird, very strange, but definitely notable.
Yeah. All right. Now, obviously, we can't show you the clip, but Colorado College winger and actual, like, you know, free agent, like any NHL teams can sign him, Hunter McCown, scored a pretty nasty penalty shot goal that might, you know, that might get him some attention.
Yeah, so I feel like he's been a name that people have been talking about a lot over the past year just because a lot of teams are probably going to be interested in him here in the next year whenever he decides to try to go pro. But he had a penalty shot this weekend, and it was just so cool. If you look up his name on Twitter, I'm sure you can find it. It's all over. But he, like, went up, skated up, and then, like, faked the shot, like, at least once. It might have been twice, and then backhanded it up, hit the left post, and it went in. And it was just like one of the best penalty shots. He made it look so easy. Like, I'm sure it's not easy, obviously, to score that way, but he made it look super easy. And it was really cool looking. So definitely watch that if you have time, but he's been so good. And he's got really good size too, which I think is a reason why teams are going to be really interested in him, because he's 6'1", 200 pounds. So he's not the tallest guy, but he's tall and he's got the weight. Some of those guys come into college and they're really skinny and they need to gain some weight, but he's doing good on that front. He's really dangerous on the power play. He's a junior, 20 points in 26 games. He was in the World Junior Cup roster. I think it was this past summer he got added to that. And he's on the top line. He's put on the right wing right now for Colorado College. Was on the national team, so he has that prestige to his name. But yeah, he had just an insane penalty shot. And I think that's just making him even more of a player that teams are going to want to get here. Maybe at the end of this year, we'll see. He's a junior, so he could still play one more. But definitely a good player that I think a lot of teams are going to be interested in.
Very cool. Right now, what at least, you know, from my experience watching him in the World Juniors, one of the most underrated guys, someone who just does not get talked about enough, is Gavin Brindley. You know, he's on the same team as Adam Fantilli, so it's he might get a little overshadowed in that regard, but he's been incredibly good. He was incredible in the World Juniors, and now things are looking up for him.
Yeah, like just like you said, Adam Fantilli, obviously everyone talks about him on Michigan because he's insanely good, like rightfully so, people talk about him. But they also have so many other good players too that I feel like Gavin Brindley has been a little just in the shadows of Adam Fantilli, which he plays with. He plays on Fantilli's line along with then McGroarty, who also people know really well. So sometimes I feel like people don't talk about him as much, but he's been really good and he's draft eligible. He's going to hear his name called at the draft this year. It might be also because too, he's listed as 5'9", so he's not the biggest guy out there, but that hasn't really seemed to impact his play too much. He's playing on the right wing right now of Fantilli and then McGroarty on that line too. On most draft rankings I've looked at, it seems like he's listed usually, there's some outliers too, but between like 20 and 25, but I've seen some people have him lower than that, higher than that, depends on which rankings you're looking at. But he kind of just quietly has almost a point per game and, like you said, was really good in World Juniors. So I think he's just increasing his stock more and more every day. He's been really good, and that top line is really dangerous. And if Michigan's able to, you know, make a good run in the playoffs here, I think that'll just increase his stock even more.
Absolutely. All right. Now, the Hockey Commissioners Association, they announced the Tim Taylor Rookie of the Year watch list for the NCAA. And boy, it is just it seems like it's a who's who of Team USA guys. You know, obviously with Jimmy Snuggerud, Logan Cooley, Lane Hudson, but you got to think, I mean, someone we just mentioned, Adam Fantilli, who is just tearing it up as a freshman, as you want to call it, is doing incredible. He's got to be the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I assume he has to be the favorite just because everybody's been posting that, what is it, the Eichel comparison with the freshman years and that sort of thing, and he's doing so good this year. And now it's like, well, does he also become a favorite for the Hobie? I don't know. It's really hard to win that award as a freshman. So we'll see, I guess. But I assume he has to be kind of the favorite for Rookie of the Year as of right now. But then again, you look at players like Ryan McAllister, who's a little bit came in a little bit older, but has been tearing it up with points production. Jimmy Snuggerud and Logan Cooley have been amazing for the Gophers. Lane Hudson's had a really good season. I mean, there's a bunch more I can list off, but I feel like those have been kind of the top people so far. I mean, there's a couple other that are also really, really good, but I feel like Adam Fantilli has to kind of be the favorite as of right now.
Absolutely. All right. And then your player to watch is, you know, someone who, with just an absurd name, just spelling wise, but it's Leighton Rhode, spelled L-L-E-Y-T-O-N and then R-O-E-D. I mean, just spell it phonetically, please, but, you know, to each their own, of Bemidji State. He's Sydney's player to watch of this week.
Yeah, I wanted to shout out Bemidji State, give them a little bit of love here, just because Leighton Rhode has had, I think, a really good freshman season. Honestly, Bemidji State hasn't had the best past few weeks or the best season, but I feel like he's been kind of a nice shining light for them and for Bemidji State and the Beavers. And he's, you know, a non-drafted player, but he leads the team in points, or he's tied for the team lead in points with 22 and 28. And that's really hard to do as a freshman coming into the NCAA. He's 6 feet tall. He's from Minnesota, so he's playing for a Minnesota school, which is kind of nice to see, kind of cool to see. And, you know, maybe this year doesn't go so great for Bemidji State, but hopefully he can be that player in years to come or even next year and kind of be their go-to guy. It seems like he's kind of already been that this year, but maybe this year, finish off the season, you know, maybe get a couple more wins. It doesn't seem like they're going to do a ton the rest of this year or get a ton of wins or anything. But, you know, next year he could be that go-to guy, and he's only a freshman and he's doing this good. So he's my player to watch, and hopefully he can be one of those best players for Bemidji State here going forward.
Doing great. All right. So now we're going into some pretty big news from the from the USHL, in that there was an update from last week and that Sid saw the video of what Will Diamond did to warrant the 7-game suspension that was levied to him. That doesn't happen very often. 7 games is a lot considering how short the season is. Tell us about this. What happened? Because I missed this. Obviously, I was covering the All-Star weekend. So what's going down here?
Yeah, so this, I mentioned it last week. I didn't see the video yet by the time we recorded, but then my colleague at the Rink Live, Jordan McAlpine, sent me, he had a story up on the Rink Live where he has the video of what happened. So it's on there if you want to see it. I don't think anybody tweeted it out. You had to like go in the like game footage and find it. But it's kind of it's funny in a bad way, I guess I should say, because it's not great. It's kind of just like a bad, it seems like one guy's not really fighting and the other guy's fighting kind of a lot, but in the background it sounds like they're playing like the Rocky music or something, like that just must be on the overhead, I don't know, or just playing on the sound system maybe during the replay or when it was happening, I don't know. So I kind of laughed at that, but yeah, not a great penalty to take. Suspended 7 games, but there is video of it, so I had to watch that. And then I just checked and there was another huge suspension for 6 games recently, so I don't know what's up with these huge suspensions. And it was to Easton Zuger for head contact. I haven't seen that one, but I think I'll have to find it, because 7 and 6 game suspensions in the USHL are not super common, but now we have 2 big ones here, in back-to-back weeks.
That's pretty nuts. Like you said, 7-game suspensions are not, they're not very common in a league where, you know, the season is as short as this. So
we
it must
see
have
like
been something
one or two, but yeah, not a lot of 6 or 7.
Does not happen. Yeah. All right. Big trades are brewing here. Zion Green of Cedar Rapids goes to Des Moines.
Yeah, this was the first of a couple we're gonna mention, just because the past 2 weeks there have been just so many USHL trades that have been happening. But Zion Green traded to Des Moines. He's 18, so he's fairly young still. He only had 5 points in 22 games, so nothing crazy points production-wise. He is committed to Northern Michigan, though, so Division I committed from Michigan. But he's been scratched quite a bit lately, so maybe that's just because he wanted to be traded or the team wanted to trade him. I don't really know, but he only played twice in January, and I don't think he's played at all in February, but we're only a week into the month. So he had been, I believe, a healthy scratch. I don't think he was injured. Scratched quite a bit, but it looks like hopefully if he's getting traded, that means he'll likely see some more playing time, because I assume that means Des Moines wants him on the team.
Amazing. All right. Connor Pelk of Des Moines goes to Sioux Falls.
And this is a player that typically when I've looked at the line charts for Des Moines seemed like was mostly a bottom six forward. Decent size, though, 6'2", mostly plays on the right wing. He's 19 from New York, but is uncommitted, not committed to a Division I program that I saw on the most previous roster he was on. He's in his second full year of the USHL, so he's got a little bit of experience there. Not big on the point production, though. He has 3 points so far this year and had, I think, 6 last year, so it doesn't seem like somebody that's going to bring a ton of point production, but maybe a trade will help that a little bit.
Very cool. All right. Then we got Marion Mosco of Lincoln goes to Fargo in return for, I believe it's Jermon Yavash.
Yeah. I mean, he's from Belarus, so I'm not sure the correct.
German? I don't know. Spelled German.
On that one.
It's spelled German. But yes, anyway, so Marion Mosco of Lincoln goes to Fargo in return for Jermon Yavash.
Yeah, so Mosco, 5'11", he's from Slovakia, so it's kind of funny. It's like international player for international player, but he's a left-handed defenseman. He's 18. Again, not big on the points production necessarily, 3 points in 24 games, but he is committed to Cornell, and usually he's like the bottom pairing defenseman when he's played. But then Yavash goes, you know, they both get traded, Lincoln to Fargo, Fargo to Lincoln. Yavash is he's a big guy, 6'3", 208 pounds. So he's a big dude. He has 9 points in 26 games. So not flashy numbers, but he puts up some production, and he is from Belarus. So international player. And he typically has been playing on, on the third line left wing, I believe, when I last checked that roster. But last year he had 23 points in 42 games, so nothing too shabby there last year with Fargo, and he's committed to Western Michigan. So definitely a pretty solid player.
Pretty solid player indeed. All right, moving on, we got Madison trading Jack Muska to Cedar Rapids.
This is an interesting one because just a few weeks ago we talked about Madison just trading away basically all of their top players. They already traded Quinn Finley and Miko Matica, and now they're arguably third guy, Jack Musa, traded now. I think he has the team lead in points now that Miko Matica and Quinn Finley got traded, and now he got traded. So Madison is kind of just, I don't know, going for it, I guess, just racking up. It must be some picks and just trying to start clean, hopefully, for next year, because they have not had a great year. But he's gone. He's going to Cedar Rapids. He's played both left wing and center, so I'm not sure which one he prefers, but it looks like he's played a little bit of both in the past. Not a big guy, though. 5'9". He's from Florida, and recently, last year, he had 35 points in 57 games, so nothing too shabby. And this year, he's at almost a point per game on a Madison team that has not been great. So those are actually pretty good numbers if you look at all things considered.
Very cool. All right. And then finally, with the trades, Omaha receives Hayden Cruz of Tri-City.
Yeah, so this one is kind of like a couple different ones in one. So Hayden Cruz goes to Omaha from Tri-City. I'm trying to remember each team they're going to and from. But then Omaha gives away Alex Bump, which is a big one. He got traded to Tri-City this week. And then the other guy, Nate Benoit, I believe is how you say his last name. I'll have to double check some of these pronunciations. I always miss a couple of them. But we'll talk about him later in the show because he's a Minnesota Wild prospect, and we'll be talking about prospects here. But yeah, so Cruz is a 6'1" forward from Minnesota. He's in his third season of junior, so he's more of an experienced guy in junior hockey, USHL. I believe he played a little bit in the NHL as well. Had 20 points in 30 games. This year only has 3 and 23, and usually is kind of just the extra forward. So maybe he's being traded just to get him a little bit more playing time, because it seems like he's just kind of been the extra guy, uncommitted. And then Alex Bump, big player. We've talked about him going to Tri-City. He's a 5th-round pick of the Flyers, so he's a draft pick. He's 19, 26 points in 32 games. Vermont commit. Big gift for Tri-City. And then we'll talk about the last part of that trade here coming up in our prospects profile for Minnesota, because it has kind of something to do with that. But yeah, big trade there.
Very cool. All right. Now, Jake Ratzlaff, one of the very interesting, I guess, sort of case studies we've had here, in that he was a former D1 football player, came back to try hockey at Madison. He's now apparently being dropped from the Madison roster. You know, Sydney, you said that he looked like he got injured. So it could be, you know, one of the sports multi, you know, or premier multi-sport athletes no longer on a roster.
Yeah. So he was that player we talked a lot about a long time ago. He was a Division I football player. He came back. He was going to try to get, he was going to try to play Division I hockey, but he definitely only had a couple of months to really try and make an impact on this roster. But it looks like he just got dropped a few days ago. So he only had one goal. He only played 6 games. So I saw one roster that said he was injured. I don't know if that's why he got dropped or what, but yeah, it looks like, it doesn't seem like he's going to be playing hockey, I assume, next year, since he only played 6 games and didn't commit anywhere. So kind of unfortunate, but yeah, that's what happened.
Very cool. All right, then Sioux City adds Baron Woodring to the roster.
Yeah, so a couple of players got dropped or traded to the NHL. He got called up from the New Jersey Rockets of the NCDC. He's a Army West Point commit. He had over a point per game in that league. And then Sioux City, because they added him, they also traded a player. They traded Graydon Dahl to the NAHL, which he played last year. So he played in the USHL, started there this year, but now they traded him back to the NHL. So that happened.
Very cool. All right. And then Max Burkholder of Dubuque now holds the team's single season goals record by defense, and pretty nuts. It's 12 goals in 36 games, 32 points in 36 games, as we said. I mean, this kid is he's looking pretty good.
Yeah. So he has the most single season goals by a defenseman. He's 5'8", so a smaller guy, but he's been able to get quite a few goals. Colorado college commit. And yeah, he has almost a point per game, but 12 of those are goals. So he gets a record there.
Very cool. Right. And then finally, your USHL player to watch of the week. It's August Falloon, another incredible hockey name of Tri-City.
Yeah, this one, just quickly wanted to touch on this because I like seeing players that sort of have maybe one rough year and then really improve the next year. So he's from St. Cloud, so where I'm from, so wanted to shout that out a little bit. But mostly it's because last year he only had 2 points in the entire USHL season, and now he's on the top line on the left wing, and now he has 13 points in 26 games. So cool to see. Maybe that first year took him a while to adapt, and now he's doing really good. He's picking up points. He's only 18. Still uncommitted, but we'll see if that changes soon. And he's got good size at 6'2", 200 pounds.
Very cool. All right. Now we are moving into, you know, as we always take a look at the prospects, the American pipeline of different teams. We're on to the Minnesota Wild. Now we are getting a little tight on time here, so we're going to try and rapid fire these as much as we can. Let's start with Nikita Nesterenko of Boston College.
Yeah, so this player, 6'2" forward, sixth round pick in 2019. He's from New York, and he's a junior at BC. Almost a point per game. He's got 22 points so far this season, 6 goals and 16 assists. Had pretty good both freshman and sophomore years, and he was a point per game player previously in the BCHL before he went to the NCAA, and he's currently second on the team in total points, which is really cool to see, only behind Cutter Gauthier. So that's a pretty good statistic. And he's been on the second line on the left wing primarily. So a pretty good prospect there.
It's pretty good to me. All right. We got Marshall Warren, defenseman from New York.
This is another Boston College player, 5'11", left-handed defenseman, sixth round pick back in 2019. He's a senior this year, so we'll see if he utilizes that fifth season at all. 9 points in 26 games this year. Last year had 21 and 37 though. So we'll see if his points this year end up being closer to that at the end of the season. He's a big leader on the team, captain. He's prided on his puck skills, sometimes his calmness out on the ice, and sometimes his edge work as well. And he's a former national team player.
Very cool. Right now, here's a guy who I really enjoyed watching at the World Juniors this year. You know, very understated defenseman, but he does a lot of really good stuff well. Jack Peart of St. Cloud State.
Yeah, so I get to watch St. Cloud obviously a lot because I'm from St. Cloud. I went to St. Cloud, but yeah, a lot of people got to watch him at World Juniors, and he is a guy that I feel like isn't necessarily the flashiest player a lot of times, but he does a lot of things just really well, really solidly, and he does pick up some points on offense. So not only does he do a lot of good things right on defense, he also contributes some points as well. He has 21 points in 28 games. 5'11" left-handed defenseman. He's only 19. He went into college as a true freshman, which is really rare. He's been pretty consistent so far, a guy you can trust out there on the ice and can lead a power play, but I think he'll still take some time and keep developing in college.
Very cool. All right. Then we got Rieger Lorenz of Denver.
Yeah, so this player is another young player that I think will take some time here to just keep developing. He's currently on usually the bottom line right wing for Denver. He's 6'2", almost 200 pounds, second round pick this past year from Calgary. He can be a good player. He can use his physicality well sometimes. He only has 8 points, so nothing super flashy this year, but he's only 18. He's really young playing in the NCAA, so I'm not worried. And he's a freshman in a pretty deep Denver lineup, so even just that he's playing in Denver is a good sign, but he had really good points in the AJHL last year with 85 and 60. So I'm not worried.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. That's like good size. 6'2", 195. Not bad. All right. Brock Faber from Minnesota.
Yeah. This was a big name this summer, obviously, because it was part of the big Kevin Fiala trade and all that stuff. 6'1", right-handed defenseman from Minnesota, playing for Minnesota. He was a second round pick of the Kings, but now he's part of the Wilds organization, national team development product. He's been working on his offense mostly here the past few years. He played for the Olympics. He played in the World Junior Cup. He has 20 points in 28 games right now for a really good Minnesota team. And he's a good leader as well. He's a captain of the team. So I assume he's going to be trying to sign here this offseason.
Very cool. All right. Our penultimate guy in the American pipeline here is Ryan Healy, son of Eric Healy.
Yeah, so 6', another right-handed defenseman here, fourth round pick this past year. He's 18, so pretty young. I've seen most people pride him on his on his puck handling. Maybe I've seen a couple people say his skating might need to get a little bit better, but you know, that's what the next few years of development are for. But sometimes likes to join the rush as well. 7 points in 23 games right now for Harvard. Didn't have amazing USHL numbers, but he played for Sioux Falls, who didn't have a great year last year. So I wouldn't really count that against him too much.
Very cool. And then finally, we got Nate Benoit of Waterloo of the USHL.
Yeah, so this is one that we mentioned we'd talk about here. 6'1" left-handed defenseman from New Hampshire, committed to North Dakota, and just got traded from Omaha actually this week. So now he's going to be playing for Waterloo. 17 points in 37 games. Didn't have amazing numbers last year, only had 9 points throughout the year, but then he was traded, I believe, in the middle of the season last year too. But he'll be going to college next year, and hopefully he'll just be able to continue his development, and he'll have a couple of years in college, and hopefully will be a good prospect.
Well, look at that. We've reached the end of the American Pipeline for this week. Did it in such a timely manner. Way to go, Sydney. Way to go, us. We did a great job. We'll be back next week, obviously, to recap a great week and have a lot of fun and everything. If you want to listen to this podcast or, you know, any episodes of any other podcasts on the Hockey News Network, you can go to thehockeynews.com/podcasts. All our archives are on there. Check out Sydney at The Rink Live, obviously. And I will see you next week, Sydney. It was always fun.